I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Samuel 6, verses 16 through 19. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, son of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent David had pitched for it, and David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. May God add His blessings to this reading.
Thank you, Jean. As I asked Caden, as I asked you during communion, what brings joy to your heart? What, if anything, would cause you to leap and dance for joy? When King David had God's Ark of the Covenant brought into the city, he was so excited about it, it meant so much to him, that he was leaping and dancing for joy. When you come to church or even Sunday school, are you leaping and dancing for joy? Do you have joy in your heart, or are you just going through the motions? All too often, you know, we get raised into church and we go, well, that's what we do every Sunday. We go to church, we go to Sunday school. And you walk in and you sit, and then visitors walk in the front door and they look at the congregation and you see the people in the congregation sitting there stone-faced. Yeah, that's what I do. Pretty soon I'll have lunch. Do you think that makes people want to come back? They say, oh boy, look at that church. They don't care. That's what I want to be a part of. You see, routine can actually be a bad thing. Sometimes it's good, but it can be bad. Because if you don't have any expectations of joy, if you don't come here on Sunday expecting to meet the Christ face to face, to hear something, whether it be in Sunday school or in this sanctuary, about your relationship with Christ that will help your relationship and improve your relationship, if you don't have that expectation, how are you going to have joy? Did you know that enthusiasm is one of the qualities that people look for when they come and visit a church? It's in the stats. They come and they'll say, yeah, I went in that church and nobody looked happy. I don't want to be part of it. And then they go into a church and they go, gosh, everybody was so thrilled to be there and so excited and they had a smile on their face. That's what I want to be a part of. And you've heard me say this about this church. Anytime anybody has visited, joined, whatever, one of the things they will always say is this is the friendliest church. They're very welcoming. And that's good. The question is, do you have joy in your heart? Or are you just going through the motions, hey, I'm friendly, I want you to... They can tell. After a while, they'll say, you know, it's not the church I thought it was. They need to know that this experience brings joy to you. I know, and Beth will confirm this, some years back, I said, Beth, on the old hymns, do up-tempo. Do up-tempo. Because, you know, you can sing... Be thou my vision. Or you can sing, be thou my vision. And when young people come, Jacob, they say, you know, if they walk into this sanctuary and they hear, be thou my, they say, boy, this is a dying church. But if they hear us, be thou my vision, they say, wow, these people have some pep, right? And we've had young families come in. And that's why the up-tempo. I've had choir directors in the past, and Beth is not one of these, but in the past that say, well, this is the way I like it. And I said, the service isn't for you. It's for everyone. It's not about what you like. It's about what's best for the children of God. And the children of God want to be happy. The children of God have joy, and they can't have joy if you're singing like you're at a funeral. It doesn't work. Some churches, it may be their funeral if they keep doing that. What about the old rugged cross? The old rugged cross. You hear that right? But I've actually had choir directors that, the old rugged cross, they go, boy, they got it going. And people, young people, and people that aren't that young, and I'm not going to mention Robert's name, but some of those people, they love it. They want to be in a church where they feel the joy. They want joy. They don't want their stuff flying off. They want joy, but it's a wonderful thing to have joy. Look at him. He's so sweet. That's why you're an elder. I don't need it. I'd be just as happy without it. I'm revved up here. But it's but it is an amazing thing to see people with joy in their heart, and you can detect it. If you come into a church and the people are just going through the motions, you know they're going through the motions. And if you're one of these people that going through the motions and you're rather morose when you come, that's contagious. There was a fellow about to jump off a bridge. And this alert police officer saw him standing there ready to jump, and the officer started talking to him. You know how they do in the movies. Hey, just talk to me. I need to talk to you. Come on, make eye contact. I want to talk. And he goes out on the ledge with the guy. And he says, buddy, there ain't nothing bad enough for you to take your life. And the man said, yeah, there is. My life is horrible. So the officer said, tell me about it. I want to know. I want to hear your story. And he talks about how his wife left him. And then he tells him about how he lost his business and is in an incredible debt. And all of his friends abandoned him. And he says, this is just, life is horrible. And then he and the officer jumped. You see, it's contagious. You just, oh, that's so depressing. Yeah, I get it. It's bad. We do that in churches. We just look, oh, yeah. And people say, yeah. And before you know it, you have a crowd that sits there with frowns on their faces. Now, Tim Nash will tell you this. He sat up here with me over the years now. And at first, he'd sit there and I said, Tim, smile. He'd look at me and say, you, be happy, smile. And he finally started smiling. He wanted to punch me out, but he smiled. And I said, you know, if we're up here facing you and we're not smiling, are we sad that we're in church? Is that the message we want? Is we're really sad that we're here? As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord. Where's your leaping? Where's your dancing? Do you think David is a man in despair? Do you think when she looked out that window, she said, oh, that poor guy, he's so sad? I don't think so. Oh, look at David. He must be depressed. He's leaping and dancing for joy. See, people see that and they can make the connection. You're here because you're happy to be here. You want to be here. There is a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. Joy is contagious. If we're a church full of joy, I promise you, people will detect it, feel it, and respond to it. Likewise, one mournful spirit brings a plague to the house. One person who is unhappy without joy seems to stop all the birds from singing. You remember the little guy in the comics that walks along and there's a cloud over his head? Some people are like that. And you think, well, they've got a cloud over their head. What's going on? But when you're in a church and you do that, what's the message you're conveying? I find no joy in the Lord. I find no joy in coming to worship God. My mom and dad said I need to do this, so here I am. Joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others. And that is so true. It fills you. And here's a catch. It's not always about you. You've heard me say that in the past. Do you realize we can find joy in others? We can. When you see a mama holding her new baby, do you feel joy in your heart? Or are you the one that says, oh, well, that's not happening to me, so that's not joyful? When you see other people full of joy, it can't help but fill you with joy unless you're someone who just does not want to be happy. You've heard the old saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. There are people who can do that. There are people who receive severe blows in life, but they keep going and they're still joyful. Others just give up. Have you ever been sad? Down, not feeling too good. You turn on the TV and you put it on one of your favorite shows and something happens and it makes you bust out laughing. Or you go out and you're with family and you're not feeling all that well, but when you get there, somebody says or does something or gives you news and suddenly you're filled with joy and you're happy. You see, you can find joy in other people. You can find joy being around other people, and you can find joy in God. We all have the capacity to be sullen, but we have the same capacity to be joyful. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. We give blessings to people when we feel joy, and David did that. When our joy for the Lord is evident, when we express joy for the God of creation, we cannot help but bless those around us. David's joy overflowed to the people, and they received blessings. The people had joy because they found joy in David. To be able to find joy in another person's joy, that's the secret to happiness. It doesn't always have to be us. Everything's going my way, I'm joyful. What about everything is going Jacob's way? He's got this great career. He's got, that makes me happy. That's joy. That's joy. George Sr. having a birthday. I can find joy in that. There's joy. It's an amazing thing. A woman climbed on the bathroom scale after 2 weeks of butterless toast and chilly jogs around the park. Anybody relate? The needle was still stuck on the number where she had started. This struck her as typical of how things had been going lately. Listen carefully. She was destined never to be happy, she thought. As she dressed, scowling at her tight jeans, she found a $20 bill in her pocket. Then her sister called with a funny story. When she hurried out to the car, angry that she had to get gas, she discovered her roommate had already filled the tank. And this woman thought she would never be happy because she didn't see the joy in everything that had happened beyond the scale. $20 bill in her pocket, didn't know she had it. Sister calls, tells her a funny story. Her roommate takes care of filling up the gas tank, but she didn't think about those three things. What she thought about is what a really bad day she's having because of the scale. It didn't move. Every day, it seems, we're flooded with advice about happiness. The relentless message is there's something we're supposed to do to be happy. Make the right choices or have the right set of beliefs about ourselves. Our founding fathers even thought it was so important they put the pursuit of happiness in the Declaration of Independence. Coupled with this is the notion that happiness is permanent. If we're not joyful all the time, we conclude there's a problem. Folks, life doesn't work that way. You know that. We're not perpetually happy. We're not always in a state of joy, but it's always there for us. What most people experience is not a permanent state of joy or happiness. It is something more ordinary, a mixture of what essayist Hugh Prather called unsolved problems, ambiguous victories, and vague defeats, with moments of clear peace. Maybe you wouldn't say yesterday was a happy day because you had a misunderstanding with someone. But weren't there moments of happiness? Weren't there moments of clear peace? Do you dwell on the bad that happened that day, or do you look to the future and look at what else is around you? Now that you think about it, wasn't there an email from an old friend or a stranger someone posted on your Facebook page you hadn't heard from for years? Maybe someone complimented your haircut. Not you, Jason, but somebody. You remember having a bad day, yet the moments occurred to have joy, to be happy, and you didn't seize it. Has that happened? Happiness is like a visitor. You have a favorite aunt or someone who shows up in your life and she smells good and she's funny and she's there for a brief moment and then she leaves and goes off. That's what it's like. It's not permanent, but you got to look for it. You got to recognize it when you see it. While you're walking home with a head full of problems, try to notice how the sunset lights up the windows in the houses around your block. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Most people never realize it. Or they see it and it just doesn't click. Listen to the shouts of kids playing basketball. I have a little across from the apartment, catty corner, there is a daycare, and I hear the kids playing and laughing. And that brings joy, because I know there's life and there's those who are going to carry on and go on beyond me. I love to hear them. Happiness is an attitude, not a condition. It's cleaning the bathroom and listening to your favorite music. Yeah, you're having to work, but you got your favorite music on. Happiness is your family assembled at dinner. We come together for Thanksgiving and Christmas and we have our families there. Do we seize the moment and say, yeah, this is what I live for. This is the joy. How much luckier we are and how much more happiness we experience if we can fall in love with living our life. Just fall in love with living your life. Sometimes we just forget. Joy can be found not only in our lives, but in the lives of those around us. When you see things going well for someone, when you observe acts of kindness and love, which I see in this church all the time, when you see someone singing or dancing like no one is watching. Have you seen that? I've seen people and they're doing this in a mall or something, and I'm like, wow, they're happy. Now, I know some of you look and you say, they're crazy. But sometimes we get so happy we forget that there are other people around. See the joy in their hearts, and it will bring joy to your heart. Joy can be contagious, but you have to allow yourself to get infected. I promise you, you will not regret it. You will not regret it. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes, and all the people said, Amen. Amen. Our King is joyful, and in His joy we find joy, and blessings flowed over from that, and they were all fed, and they were all sent home with the King's blessing. Let us go home today finding the joy that surrounds us. May our children and our children's children know the joy and happiness in our lives and in the lives of those around them. And all the children will then say, Amen. Let us look for the joy and let us pray. Gracious God, there are those of us in this sanctuary who have lost our sight, and yet we're joyful that we are your children. There are those of us who have had other ailments and pains and aches, and yet we take joy in being your children. We ask that you continue to fill us with your Spirit, with your love, with your Son's Spirit of finding joy in others as He found in His disciples, as He found in those as He traveled, and Lord, as He finds right here in this congregation. Bless us that we may go forward to do your work, that we may always see the joy in doing what your Son has set us to do, and do it in a joyful way that all may know we are your children. For we ask this in His holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.